the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Bringing you another episode of The Brothers and jumping into the conversation right away. Tonight's episode is titled, I drew a blank, Selective Outrage. And borrowed that one from Chris Rock, but I think the point is well made. Selective Outrage. And the conversation, I mean, there's lots of things going on in the world. There's actually too much going on in the world, right? So it's I guess you could pick any number of conversations and draw selective outrage to it. But we decided to talk about the very tragic situation and death of Jordan Neely. And Big Rule for the listeners, why don't you introduce the topic, Jordan Neely, and why we came up with the episode tonight, Selective Outrage.
Well, it's been the news for the past couple of days. Basically, Jordan Neely was someone that was living in the transit system, I believe, and he seemed to be going through some type of episode where he was acting erratically on the train. He was harassing fellow strap hangers, and I'm not sure if he actually assaulted anyone, that I'm not clear on, but I know that he was subdued by a former military personnel. And the person put him into a chokehold and kept it on long enough to where Mr. Neely ended up passing away.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of outrage, I guess, from a lot of different people from a whole bunch of different factions.
Okay. That's a good synopsis of the situation. So I think for me, because it's such a broad topic and a long conversation to have and a lot of different interconnecting parts, I think the easiest way to bring it to our listeners tonight is the way that the conversation started between you and I. Because I was aware of the situation prior to our conversation a few days ago. And, you know, so the facts you outlaid are pretty much what they are. But I believe there was a post that was sent that showed Jordan Neely as a Michael Jackson impersonator. And also the video of, you know, like I said, him being subdued, which led to his death. And for me personally, the implication was this innocent, homeless, hungry individual who performed as Michael Jackson was killed tragically or mercilessly. And my first initial instinct was he was not a Michael Jackson impersonator that day. He actually hadn't been a Michael Jackson impersonator for quite a while. So to put those two images together was very disingenuous, right? Because you're trying to say this is partially why, or this is who was attacked, subdued, and killed. And the reality is that wasn't the case. He was, as you said, someone who apparently was homeless and maybe living in the underground system. He apparently did enter the train car in an aggressive manner. I won't say very aggressive manner, and was threatening people. And basically, in the climate that we're currently living in, where many, many people are assaulted basically daily in the subway system, you don't know who the next person is going to attack you is. So to insinuate somehow that his Michael Jackson impersonations and his calm quest for food is what led to the situation is very disingenuous. So I think that's where the conversation started for me, because I'm sorry he's gone. Like, I really am. And I wish so many different layers would have been added to it. But I think starting the conversation off that this innocent person was killed is very disingenuous and not true.
No, I totally understand where you're coming from. And as someone who takes public transportation on a daily basis, you know, I totally agree with you in the sense that we want to be able to go and go to our destinations without any type of altercations. We don't need anyone being combative and basically bothering us. We're just trying to get to and from work. We're not trying to have conversations and interactions with a bunch of different people. So I totally understand that.
Exactly. And I think the next layer to connect is that the main parties involved, the people in the train car, right? Because all of us have heard the story secondhand, thirdhand. Even the video is not a full rendition of everything that happened. So the people in the car are probably the best people to give their insights as far as what happened, how they felt, and things of that nature. And again, there's so many layers to it, right? Because taking it from the points you made now, and I think we can separate the emotional from the legal, right, as far as Jordan Neely's death. And the truth of the matter is, to your point, is I don't believe that Jordan Neely physically put his hands on anybody. Right. That's not the same as threatening. That's not the same as the climate of fear that people may have experienced in that train car. But from a legal standpoint, I don't know if he actually assaulted anybody, which may now impact the person who did subdue him. Right. Because it's one thing if he would have pulled him off of somebody and held the hold too long. Right. It's another thing if he was scared he was going to grab somebody, assault somebody and held the hold too long. And that's why I think that's a natural separation, because I think there's a possibility he is going to be charged by the grand jury, which may or may not be right. And again, the legal process would work itself out. And that has implications many people don't realize, because we're usually upset that nobody gets involved and intervenes. And now when somebody does and ends tragically, they may lose their freedom over it.
No, what you're saying is 100% true. I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get into it a little in a few seconds or so, but he was a trained professional in the sense that he had military training. So he's not the same as someone like me or you that's just a layperson who's trying to stop an altercation. So that being the case, he may have a higher level of responsibility of what he was doing as opposed to a person that doesn't have any type of specialized training.
That's a valid point. I think that plays more to the legal hand, because again, you lock a bunch of people into a subway car underground where they're threatened, not knowing if they're going to be shot or stabbed. Training or not, we have things called emotions. And fight or flight is a biological reaction that people have when they're scared. Right, fight or flight kicks in. You either attack or you try to flee. So even people in the military will tell you that, yeah, we're still human beings. We have training. But in an uncontrolled situation, your instincts do kick in. Now, that being said, pulling someone off of someone and exerting too much force is different than the person never actually touching anyone. So again, it goes back to state of mind. It's the same thing we talk about police officers, right? A lot of time they're using deadly force when no imminent action occurred, right? They reacted to their state of mind. They were scared something was going to happen, and they killed somebody, which is different than they're being fired upon and they're returning fire. So I think legally, yes, you know, it's a very valid point that he never should have put his hands on Jordan Neely. He never should have intervened, because nothing actually occurred. There was a threat of occurrence. And I think that's where, for me, the selective outrage is, because even if nothing occurred, there are people traumatized just by what happened, and that should not be minimized by, again, associating Jordan Neely as the victim. He was actually the aggressor initially.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, I totally understand that, and that's true. What I'm saying is it's the same thing if a professional boxer ends up in a bar fight. He has a responsibility of not using his specialized skills to hurt people that are not adequately trained or up to that same level. So in this case, I'm just saying that the person that had military training, you know, did he act wrong, or should he have not put his hands on him? No, obviously he's scared. The people on the train were scared, but he should have known enough to release the hold after a certain period of time, because he is trained, as opposed to someone who's a layperson who may not know that the person is out and can no longer defend himself.
Okay. We can move along, because like I said, as someone who was trained in crisis intervention and utilized that for 5 years in a very difficult school setting, I understand that training does carry a large part of the way. but also emotions carry you a large part away, which is why a lot of time you need other people to intervene, right? Because again, I think what people are saying is, why are you not acting rational in an irrational situation? And that's why I said, it's the people in the car that really need to speak up more, right? Was the situation so threatening and so fearful that people really thought that something terrible was about to happen? Or was it something where, okay, you're being annoyed and you overreacted to an annoyance? So I think that's part of it. But the reason I want to emphasize selective outrage, right? There was a protest on Saturday, and part of the protest was anti-police, right? About the police. And I'm sure any logical person would say, wait a minute. And we criticize the police for the things they do. But this is an example of the police being criticized for something that they weren't even around for. And again, selective outrage. How are you using this situation, right? And not saying indirectly the police were responsible. No, people were basically saying the police were responsible. Like, we need to get rid of the police. And like, but this had nothing to do with police officers. So you could be outraged about the tragedy that happened, but is that why you're really here? Because that's not what you're saying.
Well, I did see the protest. You did send me a video of the protest. I was more of the opinion that they were doing this because the individual was in charge, and they figured that had this been another individual, that person might have been charged with a crime, and they're figuring that because this person is of a certain race, that they weren't being charged. And I think that's what they were trying to say, that there's not being equal application of the law. It would be applied differently if it was a different person who had done the act.
Well, I understand, and I think that's a good point you cleared up. Again, I think that reinforces why tonight's episode is selective outrage, because I think we can always find things to be upset about, but I think the harm and the tragedy is that we're not actually focusing on the facts. And I think the reality is that usually, at least in our podcast, when we challenge certain situations, because the facts are clear. Like, for example, when Amber Geiger wasn't charged initially, the facts were clear that she was wrong, right, on every level. She was not a police officer. She was not operating as a police officer at the moment of the shooting. She was not in her apartment. So there were so many layers to where there was a clear cover-up, a clear reintroduction of the facts. The reality is, we don't know if race played a part in this. We don't know if military training played an over part of this, right? Because people, again, on the train car were threatened. There's also a history of threats that this person has. He has about a 40-year arrest record. Not saying that was pertinent in that situation, but saying that the facts should indicate that he was not a harmless person at that moment. He was a threatening person at that moment. Now, the reality is perhaps the threat should not have been dealt with the way it was, and I think that's the point. But I think it's important to not emphasize that, or to not re-narrativize it, that he was innocent, that he was just hungry and wanted food. He wasn't asking for food. He was demanding food. He was demanding anyone in that train car, or someone in the train car, was going to give him food. He did not care the consequences of what happened, including death or arrest. And again, not saying that that should have led to his death, saying that factually he was the aggressor. He was not the victim. He became the victim because someone took actions into their own hand, which may or may not have been warranted, and certainly went too far. So there's no question that, and I don't have the gentleman's name in front of me, the ex-Marine, there's no question he went too far, right? Jordan Neely shouldn't be dead, right? And we said all the time, how many situations somebody has interaction that didn't need to lead to their death? So I don't think anyone's saying that he should be dead. No, he shouldn't be dead. It's the factors that led to it. It's almost that this innocent person was just killed because of the factors that we don't know, that he was black and the aggressor was white and all of these things. And you say, well, that we don't know. We just know that someone grabbed him because something was happening and it got out of control. So I guess what I'm saying is all of the extra stuff needs to be pushed out and the emphasis needs to be on the observable facts.
Well, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from. But if you think about a lot of the situations that, you know, people have ended up passing away, most of them were actually not saying innocent, but there was a reason why they were being confronted by the police. If you're selling cigarettes, if you were loitering or whatever else, there's a reason why you were having an interaction with the police to begin with. I mean, the only one I could think of that probably maybe wasn't warranted was like Philando Castillo. I don't remember why they were stopped, but I don't think he really had any reason to have interaction with the police at that particular time. But like Alton Sterling and all of those that those people, there was a reason why they were having a interaction with the police. Now, it didn't turn out, you know, it went way too far, but there was a reason why. And again, there's a reason why Jordan Neely was accosted, because he was, like you said, acting erratically on the train and was very aggressive, and people were scared. I mean, I also think that some people who should be not say held accountable, but who need to explain their actions, is the two bystanders that were there while he was being choked, because they didn't seem to be telling the person to get off of them. They seemed to be trying to help subdue him. And they could obviously see that the person was non-responsive. And, you know, usually as an observer, you're like, listen, yo, he's out. Like, you can let go now. It's enough. Because, again, the Marine maybe is in a certain mindset because he's scared and he's just holding on for dear life. I'm going to go until this guy stops. But maybe somebody should tell him, yo, stop. This guy is done. He can't do anything. He's sleeping right now, as opposed to letting him continue what he was doing.
Right. Well, again, I think that's a good point. And I was agreeing with what you were saying until you said the word obviously. And that's the one I had to underline, because I think, again, people don't realize that when people are in stressful situations, nothing is obvious, because everyone now is reacting. And a lot of times they're reacting in a heightened sense of adrenaline, right? Because they don't know what's going on, right? So they actually were there to help in the sense of the situation. They were helping to subdue him, right? It's the same way there was a tragedy in Texas the other day where a person mowed down several people on the side of the road, then tried to leave, and the people went to hold him down. Now, thankfully, they didn't strangle him to death. They didn't choke him to death, right? But they purposely held him down. So these two other individuals were undecisive, not obvious. They were undecisive about trying to keep him subdued, right? You're right. No one was trained and thoughtful enough to, say, take his hands off his neck. And again, as someone who's been in those situations, one thing I've always emphasized is that usually you have layers of intervention. So when someone is directly involved in the incident, you try to have someone else try to like relieve and ease the situation. Hey, get off his neck. So I'm saying everything you say only because it's not so obvious. When you're in a train car and you don't know if you're going to be stabbed or shot or whatever, right? Everyone is more in a reactive state now. I'm not saying that they still don't have a responsibility to try to help and also protect Jordan Neely as well. I'm saying it's not obvious, because people are reacting. People are in a train car trying to get to their business, and then something happens out the ordinary, and everyone's fight or flight kicks in a different way.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
So I'm going to emphasize, it's not obvious, right? It's something where, okay, I didn't know this was going to happen. I don't know what's going on. And now everybody's reacting. He jumps in with his training, does what he does, which is obviously not appropriate. They're kind of doing what they did. And then suddenly the train pulls into the car. And what do most other people do? Leave. Because most people do nothing. And that's one of the sad things. So there's no easy answer to this. I'm not trying to say just do this and just do that. I'm saying this was a very difficult situation from the start. And initially, to link anything having to do with Jordan Neely's past as a Michael Jackson impersonator had nothing to do with what happened on that train car that day. And that's what I'm saying. That's the disinformation campaign. The fact should be, why did you grab this young man? Did you have to hold him the way you did as long as you did? And honestly, do you need to pay a price for that? Because even though you didn't mean to kill him, the reality is you did kill him. Right. So even though sometimes nobody gets involved, you did get involved. That doesn't mean that you didn't get involved the wrong way. And you might not pay a price for that.
No, what you're saying is totally true. I'm not. There's nothing to be say combat that. All I'm saying is that in this situation, one, when they did show the video, maybe it's just showing a video of this is who the person that was in the altercation. Maybe have no other videos. Obviously, he's not a person. Doesn't seem like he had a lot of maybe family around. So maybe that's the only video they had to show that this is who was actually in the altercation. I don't know if it's a total disinformation campaign to say, oh, he's actually a good guy and you know, a good guy was killed. It might just be that this is who the person who was in this, you know, altercation. How many times do you see someone who's an actor and they show someone when they were popular as opposed to how they look now when they're down and out? So, I mean, maybe that's the only image they had of it.
I understand that, and I won't say that I'm an expert in anything, but I do work in the media field, and I do know when images are shown in a certain way, in a certain order of repetitiveness, that there is an intent to it, right? Because a lot of imaging is subliminal. So, and there has been a large effort to subliminally portray him as the victim throughout the situation, not the person who became the victim. But that's being said, because like I said, there's a lot to impact it. That's why I say it's selective outrage. Because I'm outraged over the entire situation. And I think that's my emphasis. I wish he was alive. I wish other people would have intervened. I wish the situation never would have happened. I wish our mental health care system had been adequately prepared much longer before the situation. I wish, and this is going to be the point that a lot of people that listen to our episode might not like, I wish his family would have been more successful in supporting him. And the reason why I say that now is they're saying that he needed a lot of compassion, right? He was homeless and hungry. And I hate to say this, but I will say this. As a family member, are you sure you want to say that he needed a lot of support and understanding because he was homeless and hungry? Because this was your family member who was homeless or hungry. I understand sometimes people with mental health are hard to maintain. But if it's hard for someone who's related and knows him, has a relationship with him to maintain, what do you expect strangers on a train to do? We don't know him. And you know what? Let me take that back. I shouldn't say we because I wasn't on a train. They didn't know him. They didn't know his situation. They didn't know his history. All they know is what was being said and what was being projected at that moment.
But maybe when they're saying that he needed help, it wasn't talking about the people on the actual train. Maybe the government, the certain agencies that didn't help him, maybe he tried to get help for him or he tried to seek out help before this happened and he fell through the cracks. I mean, I don't know his situation specifically, but I have heard a lot of people in the situation where they try to get help, they need to get assistance, and instead of them getting assistance, they're given jail time and basically never get the help they really need as far as fixing their mental problems.
Right. So the thing is, I did listen to what they said, and they were speaking to the situation of the train. Because basically, what they're saying is that this person, I know it's Daniel something, the person, the ex-Marine who had the chokehold and eventually, you know, was responsible for his death. But they were basically saying he should have operated differently, knowingly, not the outcome of his actions, but just his overall intent. And again, this is what I'm saying. I don't know this person. I'm just on the train trying to get where I need to go, right? I don't know how difficult he is to manage. And the reason why I say that is people say the same thing when they make EDP calls to the police. My family member is acting crazy in the house. I can't deal with him. I'm scared. I need you to deal with him, right? And I think now it's known that police officers don't have the training to deal with the situation, right? But I think sometimes it's this understanding that, well, you couldn't deal with your family member, but somehow we're supposed to be able to. So he's too crazy for you, but somehow he's supposed to be manageable to us. And that's what I'm saying. That's not realistic. That's cognitive dissonance, saying, no, we don't expect you to kill him, but we know this person's unmanageable, which is why we called. And that's what I'm saying. As a family member, if he's had so much difficulty, he's homeless and he's hungry, there is some level of connection and relationship that you bear to this.
Yeah, no, I totally agree in the sense that if this is the situation, you can't expect people who are strangers on a train to know how to deal with them if you can't deal with them. I more thought they would be talking about the agency or some type of government program that he fell through the cracks. No, if you expect strangers to be able to handle that situation, that's totally crazy if you ask me. You know, I don't know anything about this gentleman, except that he's acting erratic in front of me. So I want to get away from it as quickly as possible, if anything.
Exactly. And again, you heard all of my outrages, right? I'm outraged over everything that everyone's outrageous because nobody wants to. I'm outraged that it's not safe to go on the train, right? I should be able to get on the train 2-3 o'clock in the morning if need be, going uptown, downtown, and not be fearful. That's not a reality. we should be outraged that people are being harmed and attacked on the train for non-criminalistic reasons. In other words, not being robbed. There's actually people that are just stabbing people and running, right? So when you introduce all these layers in this climate, it is very reasonable for people to ride the train to already be in a sense of fear because of so much erratic behavior. And again, selective outrage, because everyone's going to feel differently. I don't blame his family for being upset. He's been killed. He's been murdered. Assuming if he's been murdered, I mean, he's been killed. I'm upset. I'm a stranger. So I can imagine that. And I don't expect them to be rational in the sense of, you know, this should have happened differently or whatever. They're emotionally connected, right? I'm simply saying, just to put the rationality back to it, if you had a hard time for years maintaining this individual, imagine the people that have never seen them before, that are just trying to go about their business, right? And I'm a trained counselor. Well, I know a lot of people don't know that, but I have trained counseling. I'm not trying to say any of these things are easy. I'm saying that's my point. A lot of people are making it seem like this is an easy one. Bad Marine, bad white Marine killed black innocent homeless person. And I'm like, no, there are so many layers in between. Don't do that. Although from a criminalistic standpoint, he might really be in trouble for what he did. He may have done a criminal act, even though the rationale might have been as normal as this. I'm scared. If you wild out, I'm going to take you down. And I'm sure he's not the only person who thinks that way. But when you act on it, it might go too far.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, it's true. It might go too far. I mean, I have to say, though, I think a lot of people are outraged by the fact that the Marine wasn't charged. And they think the situation was reversed. And it was a black person that subdued a white erratic person, that they would have been charged right away. And I think that's why a lot of people are outraged. You may not see that or think that's why they're protesting, but I think that is, they want equal charges under the law.
But that's what I'm saying. That's selective outrage. We can be mad about everything that should have been done differently, right? I think this happened on Monday for this reason. I think that happened last Monday for that reason, right? I'm talking about the facts. I'm talking about the fact that, okay, somebody threatened people on the train. Somebody reacted to that, and certainly not, and again, in the question of an illegal way, because like I said, if Jordan Lee put his hands on no one, that does impact the situation. People are scared, right? But he didn't actually assault anybody, per se, right? So again, we say I'm protecting people from what? From his threat? And I'm somebody who associates with that, because I know that when I ride a train, I have a heightened sense of security. I'm kind of like, don't touch me, don't say nothing to me, don't look at me. Right, I'm thankful I haven't been in a situation where I've reacted, but that's my sense, right? I'm going downtown, I'm underground. I don't want no crazy person grabbing me, right? Now, thankfully, I have it. But if somebody yells at me, right, that doesn't mean I can punch him in the face, right? I might feel it, right? I might actually do it. Doesn't make it right. So I'm saying there's a certain level of realistic reactions that people are not necessarily processing. They're taking their rally points and their outrage and they're waving their flags. And the reality is, this is a real situation. People ride the subway in fear. People threaten people in the subway and sometimes lash out. And sometimes people take matters in their own hands and it goes horribly wrong. And I think those are the factors that happened that led to Jordan Lee's death.
No, everything you said is 100% true. I just said a lot of people are protesting what I said. They think that the situation will reverse, and it's not. He's not being prosecuted, so they think there's a problem with the law. It's not equal prosecution. I'm just saying that's why a lot of people, to me, are protesting.
I agree, and I agree with the title, Selective Outrage. I think Chris Rock was right. Will Smith hit the wrong person, right? I didn't do nothing for you to hit me. I did something. But there was a much more egregious act that occurred in your life, and you did not react to that. Now, again, we can say that's my point, selective outrage. Is that what actually happened? We'll never know, right? But the point is, that's why it's a good title, right? We could be angry about so many different things. But the reality is, there were those people in that subway car with Jordan Neely. There were those people that experienced that situation. And they're the people, other than his family members who are biased, of course, that really have a right to say how they felt and what happened. But everyone can be outraged about everything. I mean, we're all fine to be outraged. Again, selective outrage. I think it's been proven, right? We can be angry. If he was black and if he was white, it would have been this. If he was in the Navy instead of the Marines, and we can, you know, we can be outraged about so many things, but the reality is what happened happened, and it may very well happen again. So, but, you know, as our episode gets ready to close out for our listeners, Selective Outrage, do you have any call to action, Big Group?
The only thing I could tell our listeners is try to gather all the facts before you make an opinion or you speak on a situation, because you may have your biased point of view, and it's best to always have all of the information before making a decision as to what's going on.
I couldn't agree more on that. Actually, I think my call to action lines up very close with yours, because I think my call to action was basically to walk in other people's shoes, right? To walk in Jordan Neely's shoes, to walk in, again, I don't know, the ex-Marine Daniel something shoes, right? Because I think we're all, like you said, looking at it from our own perspective, and we're not looking at it from the situation that it was. And I think if we put ourselves in each other's shoes and understand that we all have emotions and feelings and we're not always at our best and we don't always know how to deal with a situation, like you said, and we gather the facts, we may have a much better and more fair understanding of the situation. It might not make it right. Like, honestly speaking, I don't think there is any justice in the situation. Again, I don't think Jordan Neely should be dead. I don't know if this person should maybe lose their freedom over getting involved. But legally, the answer might be yes. Legally, the answer might be you can't grab somebody that didn't grab anybody else, no matter what they were saying. That might be the truth of the matter, right? And I think, like you said, we need to gather the facts and we need to walk in each other's shoes and understand that life is not easy and there's so much wrong with our world and we don't want to make it worse.
Well said.
Yeah. This was a very difficult topic because, like I said, I started on both sides it long before we even had the conversation, our own conversation initially. But I just knew the implication of the Michael Jackson impersonator and the innocent. I was like, don't do that, because, you know, riding the subway right now is a very serious thing for a lot of people. Just doing it every day, there's just so many people that are so fearful of it. And that's so disingenuous to make it seem like, oh, he was just moonwalking and hungry. No, it's a lot more complicated than that. And he should still be with us despite that. So I think it was important to have this conversation and add our two cents, because, like you said, there's a lot of outrage going on and a lot of it is not focused on the details.
No, I agree.
So hopefully our listeners will glean some understanding and take the call to action, and hopefully we can all do better. I think this is a case where everybody needs to do better.
Yep, that's true.
All right. Well, tonight's episode, Selective Outrage. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Group.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.